Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Good morning. I'm glad I was able to make it here. You know, each time I come here, I come a different way. And this was totally different. So I'm very glad to be here. It's very nice music, gentlemen, all of you. I appreciated that. I got a chance to look over your shoulders there and read some music. I haven't done that in a long, long time. But I could follow the notes. I could follow the time. So I'm glad you gave me that opportunity. This is, when I thought about that topic that I suggested, maybe that's a little bit too competitive. Maybe that's a little bit harsh on a Sunday morning when you come out to commune with your innermost being and with the higher power, to whomever you may address that as such. But I said, well, maybe we'll see who still comes. And you showed up. So it was a worthy gamble. I was reared as a Baptist in Richmond, Virginia. I have some preachers in the family, and as a matter of fact, my wife is a preacher right now. She's preaching at our home church, Bethany Baptist, or about to do so, and so I tend to think of myself as being an Old Testament person, and so perhaps that's why I chose something that may be a little bit of a comparison and something that may be a little competitive there. I tend to stay away from the New Testament. I like the Old Testament because the Lord seemed to be a little more direct. You know, I will smite you with my hand, my right hand. I like that. My wife tells me to get into the New Testament because I need it, and I keep resisting. So I'm going to stick with the Old Testament this morning, because really what I want to talk about can be kind of conceptualized, encapsulated in one particular verse that I really like. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What does that have to do with education? Well, because we have to have a vision. You have to have a vision to even go forward. And that's really what I want to compare here today. Since we're all about children, perhaps there's more unanimity than we think about. But let's see as we go along. Now, I happen to be knowledgeable about one of your schools in this area, and that is Ramsey High School. We got any Ramsey High School aficionados here? Anybody know anything about Ramsey? Okay, one, two, okay. Well, I'm going to educate the rest of you about what you have up here, too. So how did I come to know about Ramsey? Because at one point, there was an article in the Star Ledger saying the top school passing the HESPA test at that particular time was Ramsey High School. I don't know how many years ago. So I said, okay, let's get on the bus. So we took a group up to Ramsey High School, thanks to my friend Richard Smith, and he got us in there. We were able to take some parents, some students, some education advocates, and we were quite frankly impressed. So we went back and did some more reading on it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about their vision. Ramsey High School serves a suburban community whose vision, like that of the staff, is to provide a quality education for its youth. Realizing the interdependence of skills, content, and changing technology, the school will establish an atmosphere in which students increase their competence in acquiring information, in thinking about issues, and in communicating ideas and opinions. An additional role of the school is to develop intellectually and vocationally informed students capable of participating in both domestic and world affairs. Thus, the school will instill in its students knowledge of and respect for the diverse cultural heritage of the United States. Well, it could have added diverse heritage of the United States and the world. And if I had time, I would talk to you more about that. But it says Ramsey High School serving 930 children, or just says serving 930 Ramsey and Saddle River students. So if I were to read the preamble, and again, the vision of any school and any inner city, it would probably read like that. But then you have to read between the lines, because you see, the state of New Jersey has imposed itself on any vision that that those of us in urban education want to have and want to bring with us. For example, I have to refer to some of the priority schools and messages about focus schools. All of this part of what the state needs says we need to focus on in order to justify the money that they give us. And they have to give us money because, unlike suburban schools, we don't have the kind of tax base to raise the property tax locally. That's what the Abbott case was all about. So we have things like priority schools. The lowest performing 5% of Title I schools in the state over the past 3 years, or any non-Title I school that meets that criteria. In other words, any school in the city. High schools with less than 60% graduation rate. Quite a few high schools in urban schools, urban districts. Tier 1 or Tier 2 under Federal Schools Improvement Grant, whatever that means, because everybody didn't get a federal program improvement grant. Then you had something called focus schools, about 10% of the schools with the overall lowest subgroup performance, a graduation level below 75%, and the widest gaps in achievement between different subgroups of students. Focus schools receive targeted and tutored solutions to meet the school's unique needs. And with focus schools, the New Jersey Department of Education seeks the opportunity to develop interventions and supports that may be targeted to a subset of a school's population to address its low achievement. Translated, what does all that legalese mean? It means that a vision for education has been substituted with a recipe for inequity. A vision of education has been substituted with a recipe for inequality. What do I mean by this? This language was used to close several schools in Newark, New Jersey, starting in 2011. This recipe was used to put some schools in total shutdown, force some schools to become charterized, in other words, charter schools took over, make some schools co-located with charter schools, and it was a justification for cutting down the amount of money moving into the urban education as opposed to that which should have been available under the now available school act for use of the money. So some of the schools were emptied for sale, like 18th Avenue, and then you had programs like Renew Schools. What does that matter? Well, a Renew School was supposedly a formula for how you get schools better. You had one set of rules for the charter schools, and then you have for the general population the Renew Schools. Well, as it turned out, over the 2 years that the Renew Schools were running in Newark, the test scores got worse. It was supposed to be based on five principles. Here's that word vision again, a clear mission and vision, great school principals, excellent teachers, a safe building, and engage students and families. Well, Some of that may have happened, but the result was failure. The result was failure. You do have some high-flying charter schools in Newark that are very good. And I say high-flying, I mean they make good on the test scores, English and math, basically. But how does that compare with, and let's go back to our friends at Ramsey High School. See, we went out to see, because what is good education in the suburbs then? We went out and we found, for example, that in the English department, Ramsey has the regular schools, things that people would expect, English 1, English 2, English 3, world literature, advanced level, but advanced language. Well, here, now we start getting a little different. Advanced language and composition, short story, modern and contemporary American drama. These are regular classes. And then you get to the electives, creative writing and journalism, film and electronic media, introductory reading course for those who need that, developmental reading for those who need that, English as a second language for those who don't speak that. You got a little different picture of what a suburban school looks like. Because in Newark, for example, even though the number of people going up who don't speak English as their first language, the amount of money to afford the teachers to supply that kind of help for people coming in who do not speak English as their native language is going down. You have developmental reading here. That was wiped out totally in Newark. You don't have those tutors anymore, which was guaranteed under the Abbott program, because there are kids behind. Remember all those statistics about behind schools and the various gradations? Well, how are you going to get the people up if you don't have that? And Ramsey has that built into it. You must have teachers to teach introductory reading and developmental reading. Film and electronic media. A couple of schools have that in Newark. But here it is incorporated into a general population school as opposed to a magnet school in Newark. Again, generally available for people. Let's look at the math offering. I'm not going to go through the ordinary classes, but calculus, AP calculus, AP statistics, Java programming, AP computer science. Wow. We don't have that. We don't have Java programming. You got to wait to college to get that. AP computer science, AP, AP, AP. Let me give you a little example of what one of our schools looks like. University High School used to be one of the great high-flying high schools in the state. At that time, this is 6 years ago, just 6 years ago, there were 19 AP courses available. Now, there are only four. The ranking among the kids who passed the test, the then HESPA, now whatever they called it, the Park test, I suppose, has been going down, 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 so that University High is no longer in the top 100 schools in the state. Let's look some more at Ramsey and make a comparison. Ramsey High School Sciences, Geoscience College Prep, Geoscience Modified Science Prep. Of course, you have biology, we have that, chemistry, we have that, but we don't have laboratories in most of the schools. How are you going to do physics? How are you going to do chemistry without a lab? It just can't be done, not in this real world, if you want to go on to something else. But listen to this. This is what really got us. Science, anatomy, and physiology, advanced placement chemistry, English and physics, ecology, oceanography, DNA technology. We don't have that. What happened to our vision about good education for our children? World languages. French, yes, we have that. Spanish, yes, we have that. I think maybe one school in the East Ward has Chinese. But what about all of this? German, 1, 2, 3, 4. Japanese, 1, 2. Latin, Spanish, 5 years of Spanish. Social studies, world history, U.S. history, American government, political science, yes, some of that. But you know what I had to do And I'll tell you a little bit more about that if my timekeeper allows me at the end here. We have a program for young people, and I had to teach them about the elections, about the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, because they're not studying that in school. Only one or two kids knew and understood that. Why? Because we don't have social studies teachers like we used to have. We don't have social studies teachers. School has been taken down from what it used to be because the emphasis is on the test, and the emphasis is on language arts, and the emphasis is on math. Social studies, science, even to a certain extent, even though science is part of the testing, has been, the emphasis has been decreased. They want you to pass the test. So I could go through and show you some more about what's in here, but the main thing I want to point out is in the conversation with the principal, because remember now, this is a school that was number one at the particular time in passage. It was what was called a reward school. They have those too. A reward school is a school with high proficiency levels or high levels of growth, including progress toward closing the achievement gap. And let's see, proficiency rate above 90%, a graduation rate over 90%. Who were their reward schools? Well, at that particular time, and this was in 2012, there was an article by the Education Law Center that said the commissioner was to intervene in 75 predominantly priority schools or priority schools or the low achieving schools over the 3 years, and among that distinction, he was prepared to close as many schools as was necessary because the schools, he said, were not working. But among the high schools that were, I'm sorry, the reward schools, Newark only had two of them, even in one of the charter schools had it, but that particular school only allows people who come in who were much above the poverty level, had do not speak foreign language, and were very much not very much in need of special education. And that was the Steve Adubato School up in the North Ward. So I'm looking for the statistic I had on the reward school. Yes, here it is. Reward schools, there were 31 in the states, and they were in the state's wealthiest districts, 14 in highly selective county vocational schools, of which entry was based upon test scores. 5 schools are from the middle wealth district and 7 from high poverty districts, of which Newark had 3. So what happens? We have a lot of school closings under that period of great education and great understanding about what the problem was. But I wanted to find out what made this school, Ramsey School, become one of those great reward schools. And he said, I asked specifically, how do you get them to pass the test? And he said, he looked at me kind of strange. They passed the test because they're interested in school. They passed the test because they want to pass the test. We equip them to become interested in education. I suggest to you that that is the hallmark of the difference between the vision of education here and the vision of education in cities like Newark, where it's drill and kill, baby, drill and kill, where you learn about the test. And if you don't learn about the test, you will fail. Therefore, we will fail. We look bad. So we will do everything we can to help you. If you cannot, then you will get pushed aside, warehoused in that 60% that does not get into one of these public charter schools, and the band will play on. So it's not a friendly outcome so far, is it? But because I did grow up again in the Baptist tradition, I understand that, you know, your message for the morning has to be something that has some kind of relief. I can't leave you here feeling this way. I might leave you in my class Gene, feeling like that. That's kind of reality that we teach at the Abbott Leadership Institute. But I can't leave you like this here. So what can I bring you? Again, from the New Testament. This is from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? I love that language. Do you not know? Have you not heard? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fashion. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Chapter 30, verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that's what we're teaching our young people to do in the Abbott Leadership Institute Youth Media Symposium. It's up to the parents, but it's up to the youth. You see, we say to young people, you have a voice, and your voice is worth listening to. Hello, they don't tell them that in school. But we say if you learn the skills associated with the media, like learning how to use a camera work, doing interviews, doing public speaking, learning how to become a leader in this area, you can become somebody who will be heard. And our children take it seriously. They have been encouraged to look at their education, look at the vision versus the actual operation, and they see the contradictions. So we have them as ambassadors, as emissaries, as advocates for their own for their own education. Give you a little example. Our young people said, we are tired of the disparity between the kind of counseling some people get in some schools about college and none or very little in others. So we said, okay, what do you want to do about it? We want a college success center. So we applied for some funding and we got it to set up 10 college success centers around Newark. We have one at Rutgers. We have one in various other schools. The young people help run it. We are teaching college knowledge. We are helping. Remember I told you about that recipe for inequality. We are closing the gap on who knows about college and who does not. Young people said, well, we need some help. We need some tutoring because we're not getting everything we need in school. Okay, so we put the word out. We need tutors. And people have flocked and come in and say, okay, we're going to help in tutoring. Some of which we're doing, most of which we're doing, to the young, not for the high school students, but for the junior high school students to get them ready so they can be on track to go to college. We need tutors. If you're interested in doing that, see me. So we're saying college knowledge. What else can you learn about? A lot of kids think they can't go to college because there's no money. Nobody has taught them about money. They learn about the street. To the extent that we have been able to open their eyes and take off those blinders and give them some kind of hope for a better future, give them some kind of knowledge and some kind of skills to speak up for themselves and to clear their own path, we have said, okay, now it's our responsibility to find the money. So on every Friday, we have Scholarship Friday. And kids come from all over, not only just from Newark, but from out of town as well. We help them find the scholarships to get the money to go to college. Now, I could go on, but the point I'm making to you is that there is some hope for these young people and for the others that we touch in one way or another through our classes with the Abbott Leadership Institute, our parents, through the Youth Media Symposium, young people that we come in contact with, and the College Success Centers, which goes beyond the Youth Media Symposium in terms of people. We think of it as the old song which says, ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. So I thank you for listening to this. I appreciate the fact that you all are interested in what's going on. As a result, we are enthusiastic about coming to visit you at all times. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.